Hello everyone, I am Dr. C.J. Varghese, welcoming all of you to the Global GNM Health Tips Day 335. Please remember well, we are discussing these days the significant biological special programs of organs controlled from the cerebral medulla and motor cortex. In this category, so far we learned eyelid muscles, striated ciliary muscles, extraocular muscles, stapedius muscles, laryngeal muscles, and bronchial muscles. Today's topic also is a muscle and it is diaphragm. I presume that all my listeners know what it is. It is the largest and the most efficient muscle separating the chest and the abdomen and used for breathing action. During the inhaling action, the diaphragm moves down to expand the lungs and to draw in air. And during exhaling, the diaphragm relaxes to help the drawn in air to leave the lungs. Remember here that the inhaling is also controlled from the bronchial muscle on the right side of the motor cortex. Diaphragm has got another important function. During its contraction, it helps the heart muscle to suck the venous blood from the systemic circulation because diaphragm supports the myocardium or the heart muscle. Since the right half of the diaphragm is positioned just above the liver, its ability to move is less when compared to the left half, which is of greater importance for sucking the venous blood by the heart. As in the case of all organs we studied, the diaphragm also consists of striated muscles derived from the new mesoderm and controlled from both the cerebral medulla and the motor cortex. Please also understand that the diaphragm has an involuntary and supportive function pertaining to the breathing and circulation, and this is done by receiving impulses from the brainstem. It may be specially noted that the function of the diaphragm is closely tied to the myocardium. Now we have to understand well the brain level control of the diaphragm in detail before we proceed. As told already, it has got two brain level control centers. One in the cerebral medulla is responsible for the nutrition of the muscle or trophic function. Second control center is in the motor cortex, responsible for the contraction of the diaphragm. Unlike the control centers of the heart muscle or the myocardium, the diaphragm has got crossover correlation from the brain to the organ. It is due to the 180 degree twist of the heart tubes that there is no crossover correlation from brain to the myocardium. Therefore, in the case of the diaphragm, its right half is controlled from the left side of the cerebrum and its left half is controlled from the right cerebral hemisphere. Due to the close functional tie with the myocardium, the control centers of the diaphragm are positioned just below the brain relays of the myocardium. Now we move on to the study of the most important part of the SBS of the diaphragm, and that is its biological conflict. The biological conflict linked to the diaphragm is not being able to breathe sufficiently or deeply enough. One can experience this conflict during hard exercises like jogging, sprinting, or running too fast for catching a bus or escaping from a danger, etc. Similar experiences can occur during an unexpected shock when the person may say, "It took my breath away," a fright or scare. The conflict linked to the diaphragm may also be expressed as physically overwhelmed. Remember, this overwhelmed conflict linked to the myocardium is emotional and mental. Physical overwhelming experiences can occur during excessive physical demands or not being able to handle the distress, for example, with a partner, child, or parent. In both the cases of diaphragm and the myocardium, the person might express, "This is too much." But with diaphragm, it is physical, whereas with the myocardium, it is emotional and mental. We proceed to learn the conflict active phase of the SBS of the diaphragm. Being a muscle tissue, there is cell loss or necrosis during CFAs related to its control from the cerebral medulla and paralysis causing difficulties breathing related to its control from motor cortex. Depending on the degree of the conflict activity, the paralysis can be mild or severe. With a lasting conflict activity, there can have an elevated hemidiaphragm. Being a striated muscle, diaphragm also responds to the conflict with functional loss. If the conflict is very intense and long-lasting, the necrosis or tissue loss can even cause the diaphragm to rupture with the abdominal organs to move into the chest cavity. This is called a diaphragmatic hernia. If due to the weakness of the diaphragm, a part of the stomach is pushed to the chest cavity, it is known as hiatal hernia. Coughing, heavy lifting, pulling or pushing strongly, pressing too hard as in the case of a constipation, etc., can cause rupture of a weakened diaphragm. Finally, we are going to discuss the healing phase symptomatology. As always, during the healing phase, there is reconstruction of the diaphragm muscle. The partial paralysis reaches into the PCLA phase of the healing phase. The symptoms happening during the epileptoid crisis are important. There can have cramping or spasms of the diaphragm, accompanied by breathing difficulties. Sleep apnea with episodes of stoppage of breath during sleep is a common medical condition. It is due to the contractions of the diaphragm during the epileptoid crisis. Sleep apnea can also occur related to the myocardium, but there the conflict is emotional and mental. Small diaphragm-related epileptoid crisis can cause stitches in the sides, as when exercising shortly after eating, running too fast or talking during jogging, etc. Hiccups also occur due to diaphragmatic contractions or fluttering as caused by eating or drinking too quickly without adequate breathing. This occurs without a psychic conflict. But if lasting for more than 48 hours, there can have a breathing conflict to cause hiccups. After healing, the diaphragm is stronger than before to meet with another similar conflict because it is an organ derived from the new mesoderm. Whether the right or left half of the diaphragm should be affected is determined by the biological handedness of the person and whether the conflict is mother-child or partner-related. Wishing you all a very happy GNM learning. I am Dr. CJ Varghese from Kerala, India.